Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, good morning. Pastor Jay said that I had to have notes, so I've got about 30 pages.
He's got more than I have.
I don't know if I'm going to use them, but I got them. Mm-hmm. Well, before I start, I just want to say that, you know, we really appreciate the prayers that were received over the past year. And when Erica was first diagnosed with cancer, her sister gave us a bunch of these bracelets, you know, in support of breast cancer and different things. And Erica asked me, she says, "How are you going to wear that?" And it was just this morning, I noticed it was still on my wrist. And I said, "Well, until I know you're cancer free." So this morning, with my family, she's cancer free. So she's going to start this morning, and she gets going. I don't know how much time I'm going to get to say, but whatever God does this morning, we're just going to honor him and thank him and just, yeah, go ahead, babe.
Okay, we had a bet. Who's going to cry first? Obviously, it's him. So how many times, if anybody wants to throw a number out there? I might cry this time too, but so, yeah, there's like a journey that obviously all of us go on. And, you know, right from the moment like we're born, we go through these storms in life, right? But when we come to the Lord, just as Pastor Gary was sharing this morning, like you go through things and it can be hard. About 2 years ago, I started noticing like I wasn't feeling well. I started noticing some problems, and I was on a journey of health, and I was, you know, walking every day, 5K, da-da-da-da-da, and I just started noticing, I started feeling sick, and so many other issues started going on, and then I was angry at that time because it kind of stopped me from walking, and so I started getting really angry, and as I went on that journey of, like, battling with the Lord about, hey, God, how come every time, how come, it was just, like, heaviness was on me. And about 6 months before I found out I had cancer, God led me on a journey about breaking a lie off my life. Something I had since I was little was, if bad things happen, that must mean I did something wrong. That must mean that I'm not loved. And it's kind of weird because I know that's a lie, but I still couldn't get it to break. And so 6 months before that, it was like God just wrapped me up in his love. And I know, like, not everybody's for this kind of, some people are for the show, some people are not. But when I started watching The Chosen, it was like I started to see Jesus in a different way. And it was just like a relational thing. And it was like all of a sudden, like all the words from, I know it's not biblically accurate, the show, like word for word, but all of a sudden, the words from the Bible that I was trained as a little girl became more about, okay, you know what? Yeah, I might have suffering in this world, but he loves me. I am going to go through things that I never thought I could go through, but he loves me. I might even come out victorious out of it, and he still loves me. It's not the highs and lows. Why are you sitting? It's not the highs and lows. It is about having to know that how much he loves me. And so I am so grateful for that 6 months before, because I mean, you're like, okay, then what happened there? Like, you know, if God knows you're going to go through that, then, you know, what couldn't he prepared you? And that is preparing. Think about all the times that you go through something, and then if you look back, you can see the hand of God right on that situation. Things that you couldn't put one and one and could add up. It doesn't add up because his, like, and that's when he says his ways are higher. And so when that, I was like noticing some issues, and I had 2 years before that went for a mammogram for a cyst, and they said it was just a cyst. And so I know cysts grow, blah, blah, blah. So I kept an eye on that. It was growing. Finally, you know, it was, like I said, I wasn't feeling well. So I said, okay, let's do a bunch of tests for, you know, your yearly kind of physical kind of thing. And then that's when I found out that it was breast cancer. And so it was, I thought for a moment, because I felt this incredible peace. I mean, when they say there's a peace that passes all understanding, I'm telling you, I couldn't explain it. I couldn't even tell you how it felt. I just, if you've been there, you know it. And it was like a peace that was around me, through me. And it was like words were coming at me with the diagnosis. Words were coming at me, but nothing could get this. Nothing could get through there. It was, and I said, maybe that's shock. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because the body goes through shock and it can, you know, but no, it did not wear off. And so I was like, wow, like, you know, and I could see my loved ones grieving. Like they had to go through it with me as well. But there was something about his presence that, like I said, it was as if I was just in a cocoon of peace. And I was seeking like different, you know, they were saying, okay, wasn't the best diagnosis, triple negative, stage two, you know, type of thing like that. And I was like, okay, so what does that mean? And they're just like, well, it just means you don't test positive for three of the hormones that feed cancer. They don't know what's feeding yours. And I'm like, okay, so I'm like, so what do? Chemo, radiation, the whole bit. And, you know, right away, some people ask me about my hair. Was I going to be really sad about losing my hair? Because my hair was down to here, long, black, curly hair. And I don't know, but a little bit of gray in it.
I know it's my fault.
Yeah. It was like salt and pepper. But I didn't have that sense of sadness about losing the hair. I felt almost like, again, I was like, why isn't this bothering me? And I don't know. It just didn't bother me. I thought in a way, I'm going to say it, like I saw the positive and I get to start over. You know what I mean? Like I get to start over because like there's things in your, you know, you just kind of get used to when you're used to it. And I'm not a person of change all the time. So I was stuck with a certain way. I was like, I get to start over. And he loved the long hair. So he never liked it when I cut it. So I was like, you don't have a choice. So it was kind of like, I just seen that part of the journey of, you know, taking the opportunity to look what was around me with the beauty that was around me. And boy, did I see the beauty. I mean, God just highlighted things such as our church family, the warriors that came and prayed, whether, you know, I was just a thought like, Lord bless her or whatever. I know I felt the prayers. There wasn't a day I didn't feel that heaven was being stormed with prayers for us. And there was a place that God told me, like, Erica, like, just rest. I just need you to rest. Kind of like let everybody else fight for you in this time. I mean, I don't know if that sounds kind of like weird, but that was where he had me. He said, this is like, yes, I want you to believe. I want you to declare. I want you to spend. But he said, I want you to rest. And it wasn't until I was just so exhausted one day. And I was like, thank you, God, that I can just know that I'm being covered. And it doesn't. And I'm going to say it like I believed in being healed, but it wasn't even about that. It was about just knowing that the strength that was going to come to go through the journey, that God was going to hold me together. Because my natural self, like I said, I can spin. I can spin and spin and spin and try to figure it out. I will say there was a song that was, I mean, so many people, like I said, sent me songs and I listened to them and I just let it soak in. But there was a song that was given that was like a highlight that I said, okay, God, I see what you're asking me to do. And it was called Our Daily Bread with Carrie Job. And I don't remember the guy who sings with it. But and it's called You Are Our Daily Bread, You Are Our Daily Bread. And it goes, I will seek your face before I seek your hand. I will seek you before the promised land. And God just shared that and just like, it was like, if anything has been highlighted, you know, when a word comes out to you and it's like, hold on to that and make that, that's the word that was like, you are to hold on to me, seek my face. Yes, healing comes, and healing comes in many ways. But I don't want you to just focus on that. I want you to focus on me right now. I want you to know who I am right now. I want you to know I'm a good father, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you, just as I shared with you. I want you to know that whatever you face, you are not alone. You're not going to ever be alone. And yes, we want the promised land. God, we want that. But it's going to be about how you keep your heart right now, because that's more important than life. It's my heart. It's my heart with God. It's like, yeah, go through the desert. But what happens in the desert? Are you going to complain? And I mean, I still had complaining moments. We're human. But are we going to stay in that complaining? Or are we going to go through it? Because that journey takes something out of you in that journey. It starts to show you. Like I said, things start being spotlighted in your heart. How angry have I been sometimes because I didn't get what I wanted? And he understands. He's a good father. Jesus understands what our griefs are. He knows what that feels like. And that was what I also got to see, was that suffering wasn't a punishment, but suffering was going to, there was something in that suffering that was going to break things off, could enter the next. If I allowed it, I had a choice. And the choice was, okay, God, I don't know where this is going to go. I know what the doctors say, and they're hoping for the best. But I know one thing is that you said, seek my face. So I just spent the time, and I'm not saying I was lazy, but I just relied on the prayers of the saints. I relied on the church to cover me. And in my own quiet time with him, I got to just enjoy it. I got to enjoy just sitting there and just taking it in. And in that time, it became a time of intimacy. And that's what happens when you seek God's face, when you seek his heart. There's a heart that just grows with love. It's like all of a sudden, all the fears start to melt away. And God brought me to a thing about my daughter, Chelsea, when she was a baby. She was my first. And we had a gathering at the house, and I had some friends over. So my mom said she would watch Chelsea. She was about 3 months old, and it was wintertime. And all of a sudden, my mom called me and said, she won't stop crying. Like, she was crying for about a half an hour straight. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, we'll pick her up. So her dad picked her up and brought her home. And then back then, you could take the car seat right into the house. I don't know if everybody does that anymore, but you used to just, like, pop it out and put it in the house. And she had the car seat, like, cover over her. And I was sitting at the couch, and I could hear her wailing. And as soon as the cover was flipped over, she just saw me and immediately stopped crying. Like, she had been crying probably for 45 minutes straight. And as soon as she seen my face, that was it. And there's something about a parent, a child, that just sees safety and sees, like, I am okay because I see the one who loves me, right? And that's what God was saying. It's like, no matter what pain you're going through, it's like, yeah, you may cry, it may be hurt, it may be heavy, but if you look at me, you're always going to feel safe. If you remember who I am and what I died for, you are going to always feel safe. And that was like the highlight of where God really, you know, what he really brought me through. At the end, when I was, you know, told, hey, I had no cancer. They couldn't find the tumors. They couldn't find anything. It all succeeded. And I was like really excited. I'm going to say I was excited, but the doctors were more excited than I was. I just guess I expected it to happen, but I just was like, okay, that's great. It worked, you know? But I, at the same time, it was like there was another opportunity that the enemy did try to get me with, was making the right choices after that. And then that's when fear started kind of, and my brain started spinning. And I was like, okay, I'm going out of control now. I'm taking things back in my hands. And God was like, okay, back to where, it was like, okay, I needed more prayer. I need to reach out, cover me, because it was like, I don't want to get out of that place of remembering who he is and what he's brought, you know, me out of. And in Psalms 27, he says, when you said, seek my face, he says, my heart said, your face, Lord, I will seek. There is a choice. God's saying, you know, I want to walk you through these times that, you know, it doesn't look certain. And it says, well, it's not going to add up. But he says, yeah, I want to save your jobs. I want to do this. I want to do that. But more than that, I want you. I want your attention. I want to show you who I really am. And it wasn't, and when we grasp that, it's like, I don't even know. I'm not saying I don't care about life or like it's not. Of course I do. But it's about that was more important to me than anything. And I could say that was the heart of it. And so, Dorman, you're going to share your journey with it.
Well, at first when we first found out, you know, we got this, God's got this. And then as it went on and I, you know, she started going through the treatments and, you know, I'm watching my wife get poked and prodded and, you know, and they're going through, you know, almost every day there's something new that's causing her pain. And I'm, as her husband, I'm like, I'm supposed to protect her and there's nothing I can do. You know, I'm starting to get mad and I started getting mad at God. I'm like, cause you know, she's been through enough, you know, with, you know, the Crohn's and different things that she had to go through. And I'm like, I'm the one that did drugs. I'm the one that smoked. I'm the one that drank. I'm the one that done all this. Why she got to go through this? And I started getting to a place where I started getting mad at God. And I would actually take loads that I know were either loading on Saturday night or Sunday morning because I just didn't want to come. And finally, one weekend, I couldn't get a load. And Jay called me the night before. He's like, are you working tomorrow? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, no. He's like, okay, well, we'll see you in the morning. And I'm like, yeah, all right. So I came in and we were sitting in our chair. And I mean, I wasn't in like a backslidden condition or nothing, but I was in a place where, you know, I was just mad. And I'll never forget Pastor Gary come in and you know, I've got amazing parents, godly parents, but they were 2,000 miles away. You know what, I would call and share my heart a little bit, but you know, but then once that Sunday morning, Pastor, I come in and Pastor Gary come in and I usually call her mother and, you know, and she says, hello, Dorman. But this morning she come in, she put her hand on my shoulder and I don't know if you remember what you said, but you looked at me, you said, how are you this morning, son? And I broke. And she prayed over me and I mean, all that broke off me and we were able to then, you know, because it was almost like we were fighting the same battle, but on not together. And after that, we were able to, you know, I was able to, I tried listening to worship music. I tried praying and there's nothing to, but my heart was wrong. And when Pastor Jay called and asked us to speak, you know, he's like, do you have anything? And I said, well, for the past couple of years, God's been showing me honor. And, you know, honor is huge in the kingdom. But the other night, a few nights ago, I was in my hotel room. And I'm like, God, why have you been showing me this so much over the past couple of years? And he said to me, he said, Dorman, you do honor well. You honor your leadership. You honor your parents. You honor your wife. He said, you even honor me. He said, but you got in dishonor. And I just started weeping. I said, God, I would never want to hurt your heart. And he said, Dorman, I'm not mad at you. He said, I know your heart. He said, it's just where you were. He said, oh, I knew I had to bring you back. He said, because you were fighting a battle that you were going to lose. And ultimately, like in my personal, not that she was going to lose the battle to cancer, but that I was going to lose in my heart. He said, I had to get you back. And you know, it just showed me how God, like that song, Reckless Love, he'll go after us. He'll chase us down. You know what I mean? And there's only one reason why you're far away from God. It's because we moved, not because he did. You know, and he brought me back to that place. And you know, it just showed me how honoring God is in a when you're in that place, you are seeking his face. You're not just seeking his hand. You're seeking his face because where the Spirit of the Lord is. And when you're in that, there's freedom. There's, you know, sin can't stay where in God's presence. Depression can't stay in God's presence. All the things that we're looking for on a day-to-day place, when we get in God's presence and we're honoring him, it cannot stay there. So that's why, you know, the Bible says to, you know, to live a holy life today. We can't be perfect. I don't want to be perfect because the last person, guys, here, they nailed him to a cross. I don't want to endure that. But he wants us to live a holy life to him, honoring him. And, you know, I really believe that the church, ever since COVID, has got out of honor. People don't want to be pastored anymore. They don't want to listen. They don't like what the pastor's saying. While I'm leaving, I'm going to another church. Nobody really wants to stay in that place of honor to where even, you know, God really dealt me this weekend huge because I'm sitting there yesterday morning and we in our front room in our new house there, there's the front room, the sun comes right in. So I'm sitting there, I'm listening to worship yesterday morning and Erica was getting ready to go and God says, all right, you're going to talk about honor. Are you going to do it? I'm like, you already told me I'd do it well. And he says, but there's some things we need to cover. And he says, how much have you honored your prime minister? And I'm like, he's not deserving of it. And he's like, that's not what I asked. He said, what's your heart been in this? Have you honored people that are driving down the road beside you when you cut you off? I'm like, this is not a good place for us to talk about this right now. Can I just preach tomorrow and get it over with? And he's like, but God has really brought me to a place that it's easy for me to honor Pastor Gary. It's easy. She's deserving. She's loving. She's an amazing person. But it's not so easy to honor somebody who you don't agree with, who's made a mess of everything. And how do you honor that? But he's saying, I'm not asking you to honor their actions. I'm asking you to honor the leadership that I put in place. Are you willing to do that? And Erica said to me this morning, she's like, now I'm going to call you on this. I'm like, yeah, I know. But you know what? If anybody here hears me or sees me going out of dishonor, call me on it. You too, Richie. Because... this is my friend. You guys have heard me talk about my buddy Richard. He's here this morning. He drove all night from Texas. He made it. So if he nods off, just kind of throw something at him in an honoring way, of course. But I can't even see this. But, you know, there's a few things that, you know, God showed me. Oh, I heard Dr. Mike Brown say one time, what you honor moves towards you. What you dishonor moves away from you. You know, if we want God more and more and more in our lives, we need to honor him. Be true, honor him in a way that, you know, like he is our father. And I would never ever, speak back to my father, well, because my mother would kill me, but I would never dishonor my parents. One, the Bible says if you honor your parents, it promises long life. I mean, there's promises in the Bible that we need to grab a hold of. And I really believe that the church really needs to get back to honor. In my heart, I believe that if we don't get back to this, God's not going to move the way he wants to until we get into a place where we can receive it and be good stewards of it. Because right now, the church is a mess. Our country's a mess, and we need to get back to honor so that it's not about us, it's about him and what he wants to do and who he wants to heal and who he wants to set free and who he wants to deliver. But he's going to use us to do it. But if we're, and God spoke to me this morning, I've got somebody that I have to go to this week. I don't want to because he hurt my family. But I've dishonored him severely. And God says, you got to go to him. I'm like, I'll do anything but that. He said, okay, you want to tie my hands again? I'm like, oh. He deals with me in a very slap in the back of the head kind of way, kind of Pastor Jeff is right there all the time. But I have to go and do this or it's going to stop blessings in my life and in my family. Does that make sense? I don't want to do it. Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm going to need it. But I know God is pushing us that way. And, you know, when we honor people, we honor God. When we honor leadership, when we honor God. And I wrote this down this morning, and I know we've all heard it. But like Eric was saying, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Church, we're in a place right now where we need our land healed. And the church has to press in and get it done. It's up to us. If we're not doing it, we can't expect people out there. They'll never do it. They don't know what to do. We've been given an instruction manual. And if we don't start following this to the letter, even when it's not comfortable, we're not going to see God do what he wants to do. In our personal lives, in our corporate lives, and in our country. I really believe that we can be a beacon to Essex County. I really believe that. I believe that we can see so many blessings come out of here that people start to notice and say, hey, what's going on over at Ascend? But church, I want you to hear me this morning. I really believe it's going to come from a place of honor. When we honor God, we honor each other, and we honor the people in our community, we're going to see God's hand move. Does that make sense? You want to add anything? No? I wrote this down. Honor involves a deep sense of respect, obedience, reverence toward God, others, and yourself. We have to honor ourselves, too. Grounded in the understanding that all authority and honor ultimately comes from God and goes to God. So God has brought me into this place, and you know, while Erica was going through all this, it was a part of it was so hard. And then after that happened, it was almost like, okay, we're back on track. The train's back on the rails, and we're going to watch God show off. Amen? And I'll never forget when we sat down in that surgeon's office. And she went in, she said, I went in to remove the lump. She said, the only thing that was there was the base where it was. She said, there's no cancer. They were supposed to remove anywhere from 2 to 4 lymph nodes. She said, I only found one that was even marking a little bit. And she said, I just took that one. And she said, and I looked all, she said, that's probably, you're going to be all sore. She said, because I looked everywhere and I couldn't find nothing. And the next day at the oncologist's appointment, the oncologist looked at us. He said, this is remarkable. And so God's got it. Amen. So, Matt, can you get ready with that? You want to add anything else?
You know, we were talking about just a sense of, like, honoring ourselves as well. And it's like sometimes humility, we kind of think, like, we were talking about that this morning, but humility, we can feel like we have to put ourselves down in order to, like, be humble. And that's the farthest from it. Because when we do remember who we are, that we are sons and daughters of, you know, the King, of, you know, the Most High, like, there is authority there that comes with that. And I know, like, and even when we say this, it's not a rebuke to anybody. This is just a challenge, right? This is a challenge to go up and say, okay, God, look within my heart. Remember, you know, like, show me my heart. Show me where you want me to trust more. Show me where you want me to lay this down. Show me where you want me to press in more. Show me where maybe, yeah, I have been hurt so deep, hurt by life, by disappointments, health, finances, whatever, someone else. Show me, God. because I want to enter that rest. I want to enter that peace. I want to enter the promised land, yes. And we already did. We already did when we said yes to him. We just have to receive it. And like, again, God wants to continue to, it's not a rebuke. It's just to say, hey, like, humility comes from just, again, spending time with him, remembering who he is. Because when I'm standing face to face with him, I'm just like, wow, you are awesome. You are awesome. No matter what the diagnosis was, he is awesome. And we're going to go through the laughter and the tears. And we've done that as a church. And thank God, because honestly, I know I couldn't have done it without you guys. I know I couldn't have done it without my friends and family. I know I could not have done it. I know we couldn't, like, the things that we see in the natural, we do not see always in the supernatural of how important our prayers are, how important it is to remember, oh yeah, that person crossed my mind, even if it's just for a second. Lord, bless them. Lift them up. Give them your heart's desire for them today. Give them hope. This is a house of hope. That's one thing for sure. When people step in this house, one thing they always say is, I have hope again. I feel peaceful. I feel loved. I feel part of a community. And we need that because, yes, after when we were all isolated, we kind of figured, how do I do this for myself? And now we have to be, I have to apologize for one thing, is that a lot of people did ask to help me through this process, and God showed me something I have to work on now. I don't receive help very well. I have a hard time letting, asking for or even receiving it. And the blessing that other people get when they help.
You're robbing them of a blessing.
Yeah. Okay. So I just know that God wants to say, just like, you know what, just let me show you the place of peace and rest I want to enter you as a church today. Seek my face. Let me wipe away your tears. Let me put joy in your heart. Let me hold your hand and walk through that valley. If you're dealing with anxiety, if you're dealing with anything, this song, honestly, is one of my favorites that Dorman always sang. And at the beginning of last year, when there was a lot of heartache in our lives, watching different people go through heartache, hearing some news for ourselves about some heartache.
Well, when she reminded me that I haven't done this song probably in close to 20 years. So the morning, you know, we went to Zach's funeral. And then we came out of the reception, we got in the car, and my son called and said, Dad, Michaela just miscarried. And then a couple weeks later, we're fighting, you know, the cancer diagnosis. And it was like, how much more can we take? And then Erica sent this song. And man, I played it over and over. And I put it on repeat and just played over and over and over in the truck. And it just... It brought me to a place where, you know, you start believing what you're singing. You know, it's just sometimes you got to say things over and over again to kind of minister to yourself, right? So.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.